I have set a watchman. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Praise the Lord. For the few moments this morning, I want to speak on the subject of appointed. Appointed. Praise the Lord. Can we pray? Jesus, have your way today. Bless us, Lord God, in this house, Lord, as we recognize and honor Pastor Greeley and Sister Greeley for the work that they've done. Lord Jesus, we ask you, God, that you would bless us, Lord. They've been appointed here, but so have we, oh God. And we're asking you, Lord Jesus, to put in our hearts, Lord God, the burden, the vision, Lord God, for the lost. And Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us this morning, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Praise the Lord. So today, my purpose today is to help us to take a moment, of course, to appreciate our pastor and recognize the many challenges that he faces, and realize that God has also appointed us to Apostolic Lighthouse to help with the calling and the vision and the burden of ministry. Paul was very used. He established many churches and wrote much of the New Testament. But he wrote to the church of Corinth and reminded them to be empathetic to ministry, to his ministry, because it was for God. It glorified the Lord. And there were apparently some church members in Corinth that were boasting about all that they had to go through, all that they had to endure. And instead of making it a praise and a glory to God, they had kind of made it a badge of honor or a badge of pride or a contest of hardship. They'd start to talk and, well, I went through this and I went through that and I went through the other. And so Paul, in an effort to shift the focus off of the trials and the hardships, he didn't ignore them. He spoke of them. But he turned their attention towards the Lord. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter because Paul went through much more than what I'm going to read. But I want to start at verse 26. 2 Corinthians 11, 26. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Who would want to go through some things like that? In weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often. You know what watchings is? Staying up all night, praying for people. In watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, listen to this, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. So Paul went through all of these things. And his goal here was not to exalt himself because of the things which he had to endure. His goal here was to say, stop squabbling and comparing yourselves to each other for all the things that you have to go through, and be concerned for the mission. Be concerned for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be concerned for the praise that God gets out of us going through tribulations. Amen. I read a book about a year ago called Pastors at Greater Risk. The original title was Pastors at Risk, but they changed it and revised it to say Pastors at Greater Risk. And There was a list of risks and hazards, pitfalls that come upon pastors. Now, I'm going to kind of read and summarize each one of these risks, but know that there are many, many more. And my goal here today is to help us to be aware of those risks. Amen. Because you're appointed to this church, and you're going to partake in ministry, and many of you, thank God, have sided along with Pastor and Sister Greeley and come alongside them to lift the burden and to try to fulfill the vision God has given them. And so these risks apply to you. These hazards, you, as I read some of these, you're going to say, yep, I've seen that. Yep, I've had that happen to me. And I know this is a little different today, but at the end here, the goal is unity. Amen. So as I read this list, I want to say first that these hazards are not people. People are not the hazards. There's mindsets behind those things. There's expectations and acceptable things in the world that come and are hazards to people in ministry. And I want to note here that of the fivefold ministry listed in Ephesians chapter 4, pastors are at greater risk for these because they are the ones that God appoints to a community, to a church. And so they are here day in, day out. Pastor Greeley's been here for 2 decades or more. 95 you guys came, but about 20 years almost, Pastor has been pastor of Apostolic Lighthouse. And so he's seen some of these things multiple times a day. Amen. But before you think about pointing fingers at other people, think about yourself. Amen. And if anybody is guilty of any of these hazards, it would be me. I promise you that I've had just ignorance about some of these things and just done them and not even known. All right? So the goal here is just to make you aware of those things, because God has a plan to use you in ministry in this church, to be part of this great church. And so your awareness of these things is going to help you. Praise the Lord. So, someone say hazard one. This one's called walk on the water syndrome. Walk on the water syndrome. Now, this hazard can come from just about anybody. And even pastors themselves. But the attitude is that pastors are flawless. They can walk on water. And that they can't make mistakes, or that they're not human. And this can be done by just about anyone. They look at a pastor, you're a pastor. You probably haven't had any trouble in your life. Right? And unfortunately, sometimes this can go to the head of pastors, and they can start to believe the things that people are saying about them and become prideful and make them think that they're always right or that they don't need accountability. Now, I can tell you right now, our pastor has a pastor. He's accountable. And I thank God that this is not a problem that our pastor has. Praise the Lord. But let's not try to put that expectation on him that he doesn't have problems. Amen. Hazard number two is disastrous personal problems. Pastors deal with sin, emotional issues, and stress just like everyone else. Except many times, these issues are suppressed in an attempt to not affect the ministry. And they're kind of like an iceberg that under the surface, there's all kinds of things that can happen and we don't see it. Just know that our pastor has to deal with these issues. He's just like you and I. God didn't make pastor an angel when he called him into ministry. Praise the Lord. And so God is helping those things through your prayers. Hazard three, church member migration. Now, this in part is due to the lack of loyalty in our society. Because it's not beneficial anymore to be loyal. Someone say loyal. No one's doing career jobs anymore. It's almost unheard of. If God bless you with a career job, thank God. Because most of the time, corporations are not loyal to you, and you're not loyal to them. If somebody's going to pay you more money, you're going to move. Amen? That's what I'm trying to do right now. The job's not paying me enough, I'm moving. Praise the Lord. But pastors sometimes assume that everyone is just as devoted to biblical doctrine, holiness of life, and commitment to the cause that they are. Only to find out that some people that have been longtime members, they were really not there for those reasons. And when pressure comes, they're gone. Church member migration. Some revivals are based off of a whole bunch of people migrating to the new church that just got built. That happens. Hazard four, technologically shaped preferences. With the availability of perfectly produced services, scripted sermons, and top-notch talent modeled on social media and in conferences these days, some church members assume that it should be that way everywhere and in every service. Now, I've been called a technologist, okay? So I like technology, and I'm not opposed to it. We have a church app. You can scan the QR code. We didn't say QR code 20 years ago in the church. We have a website. You can go, you can listen to sermons online. We've got a lot of things. I'm not opposed. But I am opposed to critical comparisons. Oh, this other church has a live stream. Well, we don't have one. I'm sorry. Not yet. We're working on it. Maybe one day. Praise the Lord. But you have to realize that they just had general conference. Beautiful. The services were great. You have to realize there's a whole team of people that are switching the cameras around. And as soon as something, and there's a little bit of delay, so that if something bad happens with the camera feed, they switch to something else. Think about that. Though that general conference, I guarantee you, there were some issues that happened. Any technological event, it happens. And so you have ways to get around that. Praise the Lord. Hazard five, distracted people. Church members, of course, have busy and hectic lives. And sometimes pastors don't realize that. Distractions stress people all day, every day. And when people are overwhelmed by other commitments, church can become just another event on the calendar. I hope that's not the way that you view church. This isn't just another event on the calendar. We love you. We need you. I need you here. Praise the Lord. Pastor needs you here. You minister to us just as much as we do to you. Praise the Lord. But some even view church attendance as just another option among other things they would rather do. Uh-huh. Got a fishing trip coming up. I'm not going to be here. I got to go to... there's a football game. I'm not going to be here. Hey, I get you're busy, but this church service should be a priority for you. Amen. What about hazard six, consumer mentality? Anybody finding this interesting? Consumer mentality is the norm today. There was a time when the mall, Crystal Mall, was full of anything imaginable, all in one place. But now, it's even worse. If I think about something that I need, Go right on the phone, pull up Amazon. My wife hates this, but there's a buy now button. Swipe. It's coming in 2 days. So, when we come to church, we can expect the same thing sometimes. I can tell you, the youth choir, it took 20 years in the making. Some of these kids were born after this church started. Most of them. Amen? So we were waiting for them to grow up. We couldn't do a buy now button. It would be humorous, though, to have a bunch of baby seats up here. That idea is going to get scratched off the next planning meeting list. Because you come up with that idea, you're in charge. Hallelujah. We saw a better program online. You know, some live stream, or there was a feature that they had in the service, or it was at a conference. And so we want it now. So what do? Pastor, I did. Whoa. Hold on a second. You want something like that? Make it happen. Praise the Lord. We're here to empower you. Because you're appointed to this church too. Amen. Hazard 7. Suffocating expectations. There are often 3 camps in the church. You have the traditionalists. That's the people, the group is called the "we used to do it that way" crowd. All right? There's the visionaries. That's the "we need to change everything" crowd. And in the middle, you have the Stoics. Don't change anything. Don't ask me to do anything. We're going to have outreach this week. Hold on a second. We didn't have outreach last week. You know, that happens. The church kind of gets segregated into these different areas. And each group expects the pastor to be in their group. Right? And the pastor's got to strike a balance. And he's got to follow the Lord. Sometimes you're going to ask pastor to do something new, and he's going to say, no, we can't do that right now. Praise the Lord. But you'd be surprised at the amount of unreasonable and unbearable expectations that are put on pastors. Pastors expected to do everything and be everything in the church and do every job and be able to know all of it. And he just can't. Nobody has the capacity to do stuff like that. And if you're doing too much in ministry in the church, start having other people help you and take over some of those responsibilities. Amen? Because it's an opportunity for somebody to be blessed by ministry. Amen? Sister Jerry, I was doing the leading the prayer groups. I mean, prayer on Sunday morning last year. And I thought, this man, it's a great idea, but I got too much on my plate. And so, thank God, Sister Jerry has stepped up and done such a wonderful job in leading that effort. And it's so vital. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Jerry. Amen. So what about hazard number 8? Decimated absolutes. Our society has adopted an anti-truth norm. That which was sure a generation ago has turned into maybe in the minds of the world. In the Christian world, that's the church world, multiple generations sitting on the pews have cast their votes for moral relativism. And many people don't accept foundational truths that we preach, teach in Sunday school, and in elements class. Praise the Lord for elements class. And that could lead the church of tomorrow to becoming just another social club that goes along with, and even it's happening now, celebrates the moral bankruptcy in the world. Churches in this region have put up pride flags in their doors. And we love people, but we're not going to celebrate sin. Because the Word of God is still true. And every man is a liar. And we're not afraid to minister to people. It doesn't matter what issue you have. If you can't find peace, joy, love in the house of God, you're not going to find it anywhere. I don't care how difficult the conversation is. God can work in those situations because He loves you. Amen. Hazard 9. Everybody has this one. Money struggles. Unfortunately, the economy of this world tends to impact the church. It's unfortunate, but it happens. Giving is down and costs are always going up in many churches. I'm so thankful that our church is so generous and there's a culture of generosity here that even in COVID, our giving didn't go down. It went up. Amen. Government's going to give us a bunch of money. Goes right to the church. Praise the Lord. Amen. It used to be that a pastor, listen to this, it used to be that a pastor could live and feed his family off of the work of the ministry. But now the majority of pastors have become bivocational, or their wives have to work, or both. And this could lead to a struggle to juggle the many increased responsibilities, and it, at a minimum, it can limit the pastor on what he can do, and at worst, it could cause them to struggle being locked in. They could become bone weary or lose their zeal or even self-destruct. It happens. Pastors should not have to struggle financially because the laborer is worthy of his reward. Praise God. And I'm committed to help that effort. Every week, I'm committed to help that effort. Praise the Lord. And I hope you are too. Hazard 10. Dysfunctional people. There's been a breakdown of the biblical model of the family. The divorce rate is over 80%. Well over. And an increase in the diagnosis of mental health issues and psychological disorders. That is the world that pastors are called to reach and teach and preach the gospel. The church, in fact, attracts many people like this because it represents acceptance, love, and belonging. Like it's like the family they never had. Not only can pastors have personal experience because they're cut from the same cloth as the rest of the world, but also they can be totally unaware of how to deal or really help. And they want to help, but they just can't. There's way too much going on to keep track of. There's like over 100 different versions of the family now. There's so many nuances to psychological disorders, and they're diagnosing with new things every day, coming up with new things, new medications, everything like that. Pastor's got to be locked in with the Holy Ghost. But it's a hazard. It's a hazard. Hazard 11 is pastoral defection. Defection. Pastoral AWOL, absent without leave, is on the rise in many churches. Pastors can become overwhelmed by all the hazards we're talking about and sort of check out or only do the bare minimum to protect themselves or their family. My heart breaks for that because pastors need to be connected to you, connected to your life. Praise the Lord. But if the hazards become overwhelming, you might see less and less and less of the pastor. And we don't want that. Praise the Lord. This one's hard, but it's happening. Sexual temptation and infidelity. Every week we're saddened to hear about yet another moral failure or abuse scandal in the church world. Pastors are especially vulnerable to temptation and infidelity because they have increased weariness, frustration, or even sometimes hopelessness. Teacher that I respect who is a pastor and involved in training pastors, in fact, we did a minister's retreat and he was talking about how he struggles with depression. And I was like, oh no, not him. But he says, if you don't know about depression, you don't have a clue what's going on. And so some pastors they don't have depression, but they're dealing with people that do have depression. And they're vulnerable and it's overwhelming. And so they're trying to minister to the person. And the nature of ministering, there's emotional connections that are made, but they can be interpreted with the wrong intent. And as I was reading, this is a total ministerial book, one of my requirements, they said that the number one problem that leads to these types of things is totally inadvertent touching in a private setting. The lady's struggling with her marriage and they do marriage counseling and the husband comes at first but then stops coming and pastor's got to meet there and with the lady in private and she's hurting and he just puts his hand on her shoulder and there's something that happens. We, all of us, need to protect that. Every single prevention strategy should be deployed. If you're in ministry, be accountable. Don't meet alone with people that could possibly be. And I heard opposite sex, but nowadays there's people that will try to. Yeah, I mean, everything's acceptable nowadays. But things like accountability, this is practical, but accountability software. I've got accountability software on my phone. And I'm accountable to people in the church. Praise the Lord. Because I don't want any temptation to come into my life. But most of all, and this is the real way in which we combat this, is to celebrate and protect and cherish our pastor's marriage. Praise the Lord. Cherish it. Celebrate it. Amen. That connection that they have, they're one flesh. When we recognize one, we recognize the other. When we celebrate one, we celebrate the other. Because they're one flesh in the eyes of God. And every single person in leadership and every single person that loves our pastor, let's not put them at risk. Amen. Leadership crises. I'm on 13 of 20, but we're almost there. Nationally, there's been an erosion of integrity in leadership. You know it's bad when people describe the election as a choice of the lesser of two evils. Many corporations are run by self-enriching leaders who have no care for the people that work for them. And unfortunately, even in the church, the church can be affected by self-centered leaders. For each example of this sad reality, there are dozens of people that lose their trust in a good God and God-centered pastors and will oppose or try to control the ministry. The remedy for this issue is absolute loyalty to the leadership of Jesus from the least to the greatest. Amen. Hazard 14, loneliness. Loneliness can trouble many pastors, like a cold that hangs on for months. So much of the work, like personal prayer, biblical study, administration, and sermon preparation is done by pastors. It's done behind the scenes. Friendship is a basic human need, but long hours of isolation can lead to a desire to just have a conversation with a peer. Sadly, pastors are busy people. Trying to schedule time with a friend can be just as difficult as traffic control at an airport. So when a visiting evangelist comes, let the pastor spend time with them. When a visiting pastor comes, let the pastor spend time with them. protect their friendships with other ministers and peers. Hazard 15 is institutional babysitting. Churches have unlimited needs for maintenance or improvement. Somebody come right before service and say, "Pastor, the toilet paper is out in the women's bathroom. And the light bulbs went out." Among many other things. Pastors need to focus on care, on the care of our souls and communicating the Word of God. This is hard work. So babysitting little details or dealing with petty relationship issues that arise is not productive. It's not the pastor is above doing those things. It's that they need time and energy to invest in the hard work of what God requires of them. Hazard 16 is self-saturated ministry. Some pastors focus on only on themselves. And when this happens, it takes the focus off of Jesus. This can happen when the pastor allows himself to take too much credit for the things God has accomplished in his ministry. The standard for ministry was set by Jesus himself. And it's self-sacrifice, not self-centeredness. Anyone aspiring to minister in any capacity should be willing to accept that. If you want to minister, it's self-sacrifice, not self-centeredness. Hazard 17, emerging evil in society. 25 years ago, no one would have imagined that terrorist attacks and school shootings would become common in today's world. This is the world that Jesus said that the harvest is ripe for saving. And it needs pastors more than ever to meet the challenges and complexity head on, full of the Holy Ghost and wielding the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hazard 18. These just go on and on. But I'm hoping this will help us. Help us. We need this awareness. Hazard 18 is lost church members. Listen to this. This is in Protestant churches, of course. But research done in Protestant churches showed that over half of church attendees on a given Sunday don't consider themselves born again. That is shocking. Over 50 million of the 100 million people that profess to be Christian are in name only, and they're not sure if they're saved. It's no wonder that so many backslide at the first sign of trouble or the first time God requires more of them. Unempowered ministries, Hazard 19. To be effective in ministry, pastors need more than just a good education, experience, or the goodwill of church members. Pastors need constant contact with the source of all power, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing could be more difficult than trying to lead a church without the power of the Holy Ghost, the head of the church. And there has to be a constant renewal and commitment to spiritual growth. And so what we can do about that is make sure that we don't pester our pastor with so many small details. He's got to connect to God. Amen. Last one, clergy abusers. Unfortunately, this one is in the list. The church is mostly made up of wonderful, loving, and caring people. I think this entire church is loving. We love our pastor. We deeply are committed to the vision that God has for this church. But some churches have a few individuals or a small group of people who are there to wound the pastors and cause them harm. Pastors who have experienced this have nicknamed these people clergy killers. And it would be nice to just ignore them or act like they're not real. But the reality is that Jude, Peter, and Paul all warned us about them. We want to be careful that we are on the Lord's side. And that we cover our church with prayer and the shield of faith and the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Because there's really nothing you can do about people like that. Just keep praying. Eventually, God will help lead them out. Praise the Lord. But as I read these, my heart sank. Because at the time, I knew that three of my close friends, two of them were going to become new pastors. Brother Nate Greeley, Brother Lewis Brown were just about to step into the lead pastorship role. Brother Mike Thomas is now the pastor of two churches. And I had such a deep empathy for them and then also for our pastor. For all the pastors that I know and love. And I've committed to pray for them. And I'm asking you to commit to pray for them. Pray for the pastors you know, especially your pastor. And here's the bright side. Even though pastors have to deal with multiple hazards on a daily basis, a recent poll of pastors concluded this. 91% of pastors feel very satisfied about being in the ministry. 75% say that they want to stay in ministry. So even though they're dealing with all these hazards, there's something about them. What is it about pastors? It's not that they're gluttons for punishment. It's not that they enjoy being abused. It's not that they like navigating through those difficult hazards. But it's that they're called and appointed to this place. So we've talked about the hazards. Now, I just want to take a moment to commend Pastor Greeley and his wife. Sister Greeley, we love you. Thank you for showing us how to rise above the hazards. Yeah, that's all right. Pastor, you make ministry look like happy work. You do. You've kept the long view of Christ. You've given yourself to the service of Christ so He can rescue people from the enslavements of sin. You have helped this church become established in the truth and in Christ. And as the hazards could have pulled you down, you have chosen greatness. Your ministry is a reminder that love outlasts everything else. Amen. The reality is that God appointed pastor to New London County because God wanted His word to be heard here. He wanted to have a glorious church here. And God wouldn't rest until He saw it come to pass. God called Pastor Greeley so he wouldn't be happy doing anything else. If they said, we'll give you more money to move some other place. Pastor Greeley, nope, I'm not taking it. I'm not doing that. I'm happy in ministry, doing what I'm doing, and I can't do anything else. God would not allow the fire to die inside of Pastor until He declared the whole gospel to the lost of New London County. Because it's God that wants to speak, and it's God that will not rest until His word is declared. God set a watchman here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's good. Okay. If I stopped here, it wouldn't be good. Because I want you to know that you were appointed here to help the pastor. So you might be wondering, what can I do? You know, and hopefully you have a heart for the ministry and that you love the pastor. And you're wondering, how can I help? Well, Hebrews 13:7 and 17 give us a clue here. 13:7 says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." And verse 17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Pastors were asked, there was a recent poll, pastors were asked, What would make ministry joyful for you? And I was sitting in the living room with Pastor on Friday night, and I asked him the same question. And he gave a similar answer. But it's people who continue. Point to yourself. People. That's me. Who continue to show growth in their walk with the Lord. People who have a genuine concern for their brothers and sisters in the faith. People who don't turn a deaf ear to the lost. People who walk by faith and not by sight. People who pray rather than faint. People who are drawn to peace rather than contention. People whose self-image is based on who they are in Christ rather than on what they accomplished by themselves. People who pass the torch of righteousness to the next generation. People who love the church and give themselves to it. People who respond to the gospel and make all the work of ministry worthwhile. And the Lord has appointed you, people just like that, in this church. People who will lift the arms of the ministry. People who will realize that they are appointed here for such a time as this. Praise the Lord. I want to give you a visual example of this. Right here at the end. Oh, Pastor, God gave you a lifeline. It's called the gospel. Can you come and hold this? Now, it's a little heavy. But go to my next scripture here in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 4:12. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Look at this. Man, that could pull a semi-truck. It's a workout rope. But it's this thing is stranded. It's a whole lot of little cords. Little strands. Little individuals. And it's woven and intertwined together in such a way as to be unbreakable. There's nobody in this church. In fact, if we got one half of the church on that side of the church and one half of the church on this, we could not pull this apart. This is a strong cord. And pastor's been given a lifeline. Help me here. I'm going to try to weave this out. Pastor's been given a lifeline. Good, good, good. And he's thrown it out there into the world. This can save somebody. This gospel is strong. This gospel is mighty. This gospel is unbreakable. But, you know, if I pulled against Pastor, I could pull him. I could just, come on with me, don't resist me, because... I don't want to hurt you. Praise the Lord. I could pull him. I could pull him right out. Or, Sister Greeley, come on. Somebody else, come and help Pastor Greeley. Come on. Now, go to my next verse. Look at this, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Next verse. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. And so when the lost come into the church, which they will, they are, they're going to continue to come. You're going to continue to invite them. And they grab a hold of that gospel. Now pull. I can't resist even with these little kids. I couldn't resist. Okay, you guys can stop. I'm in the church. He's going to pull me right into the baptistry. But you're struggling. You have difficult things in your life. You've got problems. You've got trials. Yeah, you can set it down. You've got problems. You've got trials. You have difficulties. But if all the church works together, if all the church gets involved, the church will pull and draw people towards Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, can we go there? Even Jesus, the Bible says, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And what did He give? He gave us the fivefold ministry. He gave us pastors. Which, by the way, the word pastor is only used once to refer to a minister. And it's that verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number, which one is it? 11. The fivefold ministry. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. That word is translated shepherd everywhere else. And it only refers to Jesus Christ. This is the only verse that it's speaking to of ministry. And so that puts pastors on a pretty special place. Because they're the under-shepherds of our soul. Praise the Lord. I wonder if we can do this again. Everybody come into the middle and grab this rope. Pastor, come. Pastor, Sister Greeley. If you can get your hand on it or put your shoulder on somebody that's grabbing it. And this is going to be the close of our service. And then we're going to go. Keep stretch out just a little bit. These kids enjoy this. Now, Pastor, this is a gift for you. This workout rope. But everybody that is and is not touching this rope, can we pray for our pastor? Can we pray for his wonderful wife and ask God to keep His hand upon them and say, I'm committed to helping. I'm appointed here in this church. I love God and I want to see God work in the lives of the lost of New London County. Let's pray that right now. Jesus, oh Lord God, I'm asking You, Jesus, that You would, Lord, do a work within us, Lord. Jesus, have Your hand upon us, God. Bless us, Lord Jesus, to help, Lord God. Give us, Lord, protection against the hazards, Lord Jesus. Oh God, help our pastor, Lord. Let our heart go out to him, Lord Jesus. And help us to be a person that wants to serve, that wants to minister, that wants to make the burden light, Lord God. That wants, Lord Jesus, to put our hands to the work of the ministry, oh God. And help them in every way that we can, Lord. Jesus, thank You for these young people here today. And thank You for these older folks here today, Lord God, that are helping, Lord, coming alongside and making it easy, Lord God, to reach the lost. Oh, we praise You. We thank You. We love You, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Touch our pastor. Bless him, Lord, in a special way, God. Move, God, in his life. Continue to encourage him, Lord, every single day, God. Hallelujah. Let that reward that he receives, oh God, be so beneficial, Lord God, as to never, Lord God, have him wear out, Lord Jesus. We ask You, God, to keep him full of the Spirit, connected, oh God, and full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, oh God, so that, Lord Jesus, he can do the work of ministry with ease, oh Lord God. We thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name, God. Thank You, Lord, for the joy that You give to his life, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. And I'm going to, Pastor, would you pray? Come and say something and pray over us. Pray for the refreshments.
Thank you, Brother Dyke. And again, what a privilege it is. It's a high honor. Yeah, it's not always easy. In fact, sometimes it is hard. But you know what? It's always a joy when I see a soul come to Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's always a joy when we see a soul come to Jesus. Lord, I pray your hand, Lord, both upon this people and upon this work. Lord, I pray you continue to help me, lead me, and guide me, Lord. Put words in my mouth, and Lord, help us to receive your word. I pray in the name of Jesus, your will be done in this place. I pray that you'd bless the food and our fellowship, and Lord, that you'd have your way in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for it all. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you.